In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we have arrived, beloved Christians, to Meat Fair Sunday, the third Sunday of Triodion, where we are commemorating the dread judgment day of our Saviour, His second coming, as He Himself described in the Gospel according to St. Matthew that we read just now. And what did we hear? Our Saviour tells those who were listening to Him, the disciples and all the people present there, that at the last day, when the world should come to its end, to completion, this created world, the heaven and the earth and the sea, and all this trajectory of the world that our Saviour created, when it should accomplish its due time, there will be resurrection of the dead, and our Saviour shall come the same way as He left, visible to all, but in His glory. In His glory, all things shall be transformed, and all the nations of the earth, every human being that lives and shall live, shall appear before His dread judgment seat. And there our Saviour explains to us what will be that conversation, what will be that exchange of words. Obviously speaking, heart to heart, our Saviour looking in our hearts and seeing, asking of us things that He wanted to see in us. And what will be His answer if He sees that which He was expecting? And what will be His answer that if He did not expect that fruit? That is, if he finds in us no fruit that He expected from us. And that will be the determining factor, whether people will find themselves to the right of our Saviour, that is, their lot will be to be with Him. They will be the obedient sheep that did His will. Or to His left, that is, far away from Him. And what is this exchange of words? What is that our Saviour will seek in us? What is it that He will try to find in us? Six things. Six things He will ask. Whether we gave Him shelter, bread, water, clothing, whether we visited Him in prison, whether we visited Him when He was ill. And how, even those who did do this and didn't know, how did they do it? Our Saviour explains, insomuch as you did to your neighbor, insomuch as you did to the least of my brethren, there is least of the human beings that had need of all these, and you ministered to them, I was the one to whom you ministered. And the same way, those who asked, when did we not minister unto you? Our Savior answers, insomuch as you didn't do to this least of the persons who approached you and asked for help, and you didn't do to him, it was I whom you rejected. Six things, beloved Christians, all of them are things that determine our relationship with our neighbor. That is, in none of the things that our Savior asks, does He ask things of our spiritual perfection. That is, our fasting, our praying, our going to church. None of those things is He asking. He's asking whether we loved our neighbor. And why, one would ask, are those things not important? We are constantly told to go to church, to pray, to fast, to make prostrations, to do all those things of spiritual struggle. And yet, at the time of our Saviour's coming, He will not ask any of that. He will ask simply, did you help this man who came that I sent you to help him? Why is that so, beloved Christians? The reason is that our love for God, our faithfulness to God, can only be measured by our love for our neighbor. There is no other measurement. If we want to see in ourselves whether we love God, if we want to demonstrate to ourselves and to the world and to show to our Savior that we truly love Him, that is done solely, only, by our love to our neighbor. That is the only measurement that our Savior gave us if we are His disciples. For what does He say? By this they will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. He didn't say, by this they will know if you fast so much. By this they will know if you pray so much. By this they will know if you make so many prostrations. No, none of that. He said, they will know you, that you're mine, if you have love one for another. This is the only measurement. Because nothing can demonstrate if we truly love God, except that we show it in our love in His image. That is, in our fellow human beings. This is what St. John the theologian says in his epistle, that he who says that he loves God, yet has no love to his neighbor, to his brother, he is a liar. How can he ever love God who he has not seen with visible eyes, obviously, and yet at the same time not have love to the one who has seen, that is, his neighbor? Therefore, the only way of proving to ourselves, measuring ourselves, whether we have love for God, is by measuring the degree to which we love our neighbor. That is, the fruit by which our Savior will recognize that we are His, the fruit by which He will see that He will see His image in ourselves, is if we have love for our fellow human beings. That is why He will not ask neither how much we prayed, how much we fasted, how much we did this and that, because all those are means. The end is love. The fruit is love. And love for God is measured by our love for our neighbor. Love for God is found in our love for our neighbor, because that is what most makes us to resemble God. For what is God? St. John the theologian says, God is love. Our Savior, when He revealed Himself to Moses on Mount Sinai, even in the Old Testament, what are the words with which He reveals Himself? I am Lord thy God, compassionate, merciful, and plenteous in mercy. If it was not enough, He repeats it three times so that we understand who He is. He is compassionate, merciful, plenteous in mercy. That is how He defines Himself. That is how He shows and reveals Himself. And that is what He is looking in us. Because when our Savior says, be ye perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect, we want you not think that we can be eternal as God is by our nature. Of course not. We're creatures. Or all-powerful as God is. We are creatures. We will participate in all this. But we can't be perfect in that sense, because by perfect is God by nature. What He's saying, our Savior, is that be compassionate as your heavenly Father is compassionate, and that in that consists our perfection. Because when He completes saying that, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, he explains it because He shines His mercy on all men, whether they're good or bad. He rains down His grace on all men, whether they're good or bad. Imitate Him in this. That is why the perfect, the fathers who had achieved perfection, like St. Macarius the Great, which I often repeat this about St. Macarius, he was called by other fathers of the desert the deified one. He was called God by grace. We had accomplished the human perfection in this life. But it's not all. They explain why was he called the deified one. Because it says he had compassion to all human beings, unsurpassed compassion to human beings, so that when he would see a man do wrong, he couldn't help but to cover him. Like our Savior covers all men by his mercy, only seeking our repentance and our turning to Him. St. Macarius didn't know how to judge. He didn't know how to condemn. He wished to cover with His compassion all men, the good for being good, the bad for being in need of compassion. Therefore, we see that perfection is compassion. And that compassion cannot be measured in any other way than our dealing with our neighbor. We can say all we want we love God, but the only way to know if we truly love God is what how we deal with our neighbor. And that is why our Savior is not asking for anything else at the dread judgment day. He's asking only to see, did you achieve that fruit? What you prayed for, what you fasted for, what you struggled for, is it simply a struggle? That is, are you only full of leaves, green leaves, or is there fruit? Because if there's no fruit, the green leaves will be of no effect, no consequence. And just as the fig tree was full of leaves, green leaves, but had no fruit, and our Savior made it to wither because of that. That is the image of human being that does a lot but brings no fruit. Because what he did for the means, he didn't see the purpose of it. The purpose is to achieve love for God and our neighbor. And our love for God is measured in our love for our neighbor. But let us probe deeper in this dread moment when we are facing our Savior. We say that our love for God is measured by our love for our neighbor. But a question might come, I'm sure all of you have had this question. What about those people that we know we've come across in our life that do good to their neighbor, yet they have no faith in God? We have come across many of such people in our lives. How do we explain that, right? St. Maximus the Confessor gives us an answer. And he says, a man who does good to another man, yet he has no faith in God, has no love for God. He does good to his neighbor, but has no faith in God, can never fulfill the commandment of loving his neighbor fully. And why, one would ask? Why is that? Because he explains, because there always will be one person, by definition, one person to whom his love does not extend. And who is this person? St. Maximus says, this person is his own soul. That is our first neighbor. Because our soul who is thirsty for God, our soul who is hungry for God, our soul who needs clothed, to be clothed by God, and to be visited and so forth, our own wicked will, not believing in God, is barring all this from our own very soul. St. Maximus says, a man who does not believe in God is merciless towards his soul. He lacks compassion towards his very own soul. He lacks love for his very own soul. And his soul is there, dying of hunger, thirst, imprisoned in its own sins. And yet he does not heed to it. Therefore, by definition, a person who has no faith in God but tries to do good to the others is not fully, not perfectly keeping the commandment. Because by definition, there is one person which escapes his love, his very own soul. That is the strange dichotomy, the separation in our own souls that we inherited because of the sin. Our soul is yearning for God, yet our will is doing something else. That is why there's always a dialogue in the services of the church of a man talking to his own soul. Especially in the Great Lent, we will chant, my soul, why dost thou slumber? Arise, because you'll be judged. That is, there's a constant the diversion of what the soul actually needs. It needs our mercy, to be refreshed by grace of God, to be fed by grace of God, and our will, who instead tramples upon his needs and does something else entirely, which harms the soul. Therefore, St. Maximus says, a man who has no faith in God is merciless towards his own soul. He is somebody who is full of ego, a selfish man who wants to feed his own will and yet disregards the needs of his soul. And that is the case we know from the conscience. Nobody can escape conscience, and every man has a conscience. Therefore, When a person does all these things to others, yet he does not believe in God, he cannot, by definition, fulfill the commandment unto perfection. For what is the perfect fulfillment of the commandment? To love all men without distinction, including the needs of one's own soul, without respecting of person. That is, when one, not that we love one more one person than the other, and he who does us good, we do good, and he does us evil, we respond. No, St. Maximus says that perfect love is God's love. He loves everybody. And therefore, a person who does good to others, and obviously it is questionable whether he will do good to all others, but let us not go in there. Let's assume, let us not judge the person who does so. Let us assume that he does good to all others, yet by not believing in God, he does bad to himself. Therefore, his love is not perfect. Therefore, this is the reason why a person who doesn't believe in God and yet tries to do good, his love is imperfect. But far worse is when a person believes in God and yet doesn't do good to his neighbor. The first, that is, he who extends his love to other, maybe because of he listening this part of his conscience, God will touch his heart in due time. And he will also understand where was this love in him towards his neighbor. It wasn't something that came from his nature. It was God that was working in him. And he didn't even, he always ignored it. And by touching his heart, he will also come to believe in God. But what can be said of a man who knows that he should love his neighbor because he's a believer, and yet he doesn't fulfill it? That's why I said it's far worse when we know it don't fulfill than a person who fulfills halfway because he doesn't know. Therefore, let us avoid both of them, and let us, for us, be the main thing be to do both, to believe in God with a whole heart, to love God with a whole heart, and to prove it, to show it to ourselves by loving our neighbor, because by this will our Savior recognize that we are his, and by this we will stand at his right hand side. Of this, may our Savior deem us worthy. Amen.